I feel like I attend City Youth. Well, I used to attend City Youth because my parents made me come, but now it's a bit different. I attend City Youth because I love City Youth.
We bring Via out to City Youth each week because it is continuing that foundation that we're trying to instill in her at home, a godly foundation. Also, because she's going into her teenage years, you know, there's a lot of influences outside of, you know, the church family and our faith that they're not so good. So her being in City Youth, it really brings her back down to, you know, what we believe in. And we've really seen her change.
I feel like it's meaningful to make a lot of new friends who are also close with God, like my parents said. But it's not just a cool hangout space. I know some people have said this in the past, but it's actually a hangout space to worship and love God.
And it also has given her, let's say, eternal influence, not just, you know, temporary, because we really want her to make sure that she develops that own relationship with Jesus.
I feel like it's a great opportunity to read scripture, get closer to God, make new friends, and maybe be a light to other people.
Just the fact that I'm even able to hear her talk about things that in the Bible, stories in the Bible, that she even knows the stories off by heart, shows a lot. And it means that she also understands what those things mean and what they were for.
I feel like it's just a safe space for you to go to, so you don't have to be overwhelmed or nervous or scared. You just show up.
If you knew Via before, she would say one word answers. You know, ask her about something and that's all you'll get. She'll go up to her room and we wouldn't really see her after that. But we've noticed that she's now able to have conversations with us, be more open. You know, things that would happen at youth, you know, people she's met and, you know, situations she's going through. I think that's really helped us get to know her more because she is more open and vocal.
A specific moment that she started noticing a change in her is when she started serving, when she started singing the worship team. She became more outgoing, more confident, more really in her own place. She really came into the role of being a big sister kind of around that time. And really even just things like surprising that she would come up to us and say, you know, Dad, could you pray for me? I have a test coming up.
And another thing too, what we've noticed is if I'm having a bad day or Jay's having a bad day, or even if Tori's sick, Via will come up and she'll ask, you know, is everything okay? And she'll actually start praying over us and praying for us. So that alone was, you know, was surprising, but it's like, wow, our daughter is doing this for us, and it's wonderful to see. One day, hopefully, she'll be leading, even whether it's worship or just leading and getting more involved. She has a lot of younger cousins and friends that, you know, she's already telling them, you know, I can't wait for you to get to grade 6 so that you could join. And just even paving the way again, like for her little sister, and then spreading that out to, you know, her classmates as well.
City Youth has helped me navigate different challenges in life by showing me that I don't have to do things alone and that I have God with me, walking with me, so I will never walk alone. Before, like I said, I was very introverted and I didn't talk much. I didn't really want to come here. And then now after I'm coming here, which I love it, we've been talking more. As they said, I was talking more about the Bible. I'm curious about different things, like I have different questions about the Bible. I have questions about life itself. And I feel like they are just there for me to answer all of those questions.
I would say to other parents, really just words of encouragement. Whatever you think or are afraid of, maybe some fears of bringing your child here, don't have them. They're amazing here. They treat your children like their own children. And I remember Via coming here the first time, She didn't want to come. We encouraged her to come. It was a beautiful outdoor event that they had. And then the second day came, the third day came, and now she loves coming here. It's an investment of your time, you know, driving her once a week, but it's so worth it. And you see the change almost instantly in your own child. Your family becomes tighter, closer, and able to talk about anything that the world has to throw at you. So do it. Don't wait. Just do it.
We love Abbey City Church. What are you doing?
I thought I was going to do a heart.
Oh, okay.
Well, good morning, City Church. It's good to see everyone. Thank you for joining us for church this morning. Can we thank Via and her parents for sharing that story with us? You know, I was a little older than Via when I started to come to youth as well, when I started to get involved in youth ministry. And like Via, I also did not want to be here. I didn't want to come here. But eventually I did show up and I continued to show up and now I'm here. But against my better judgment, I do have a photo of myself from when I was in high school. So you can show that. And that's a bit dramatic of a response. I've tried my best okay, thank you, JR. Thank you for the support. I have tried to forget what I look like, but photos are photos, and they are forever. When I started to show up to youth, and I started to show up more and more, two things became very clear to me in their importance. The first is that the people around me are very important. The people around me, as I'm involved in youth ministry and being a student trying to follow Jesus, the people around me matter so much that they're not just, you know, they're not just other people, they're not just background people, but they can be people that influence my life and influence my faith journey. So the people around me really matter. And the second is the Word of God and how the Word of God is not just a book. It's not just some old document written by a lot of people a long time ago. It's the living truth of God. And that can change a life. That should change our lives. And those two things are two things I learned by deciding to continually show up to youth when I was a teenager. And that's kind of what Via is doing. That's what our students are doing, those who show up time and time again. And Via's story is just an example of a story, of so many stories of students from different backgrounds and different faith journeys and faith walks who are showing up to youth and who are growing and learning to become more like Jesus along the way. But what I gained and what was so valuable and still is so valuable to me when I started to show up to youth as a student, I had many good Christian examples in my life. I had people in my life who were around my age, who were older as leaders, who could show me what it looked like to walk with Jesus, to show me what an example of living a Christian life looks like. And not only did I see those examples, I was also equipped to become an example for others as well. So I want to ask you two questions as we spend some time together this morning. I want to ask you two questions. The first, coming out of Via and her parents' story, what example are we setting? You know, her parents mentioned how Via is setting an example. In some ways, she is an example to her younger sister, to her cousins, potentially her friends. What example are we setting for each and every one of us? Whether you're here and you're a student, or you are a parent of a student, or you're an adult with no kids, or you're an adult with grandkids, what example are we setting? Because none of us are exempt from setting an example for those around us. None of us are exempt from setting an example for the next generation. What, if you can think back, if you're not a teenager, what Christian examples did you have when you were a teenager? When you were a teenager, did you have good Christian examples? Did you have people in your life who showed you what maybe it looked like to follow Jesus? If you did have those examples, then you understand how important it is that students today have those examples as well. But if you grew up and you didn't have those examples, then equally you also know, maybe even more so, that it's so important that they do in fact have those examples. and they need to walk in that, and they need to see that. How much more important is it when we consider the faith of the next generation that they have those examples with them? And the second question I want to ask you is something I want you to ask yourself. Maybe you've asked yourself this before. It is kind of a weird question considering where we are, but I want you to ask this. Does youth ministry matter? Does youth ministry matter? And if you say yes, that's great. But I want you to question even your answer. Does it really matter? And if you say no, hopefully I can change your mind by the end of our time together. But does youth ministry matter? I mean, does it really matter if you as a parent bring your student to youth on a Wednesday night? Is Sunday enough for them? Do they need to come? Do they need to be a part of what we're doing here at youth? Because, like JR said, it is an investment to bring your student to youth. I'm not unsympathetic to the fact that it is an extra thing for you to do. But the word investment is true. It is something that is pouring into their lives. But do you see it that way? You know, what are they doing here? What's the point of this? Are they just hanging out as a place? Is it a place to drop off your student and hope they just don't do anything dangerous? Is it a place for them just to hang out and, you know, make friends with each other? Is it a place for them to have free snacks? Is it all of these things? Is it more of these things? You know, what is really the point of this? And I think for us to answer that question, maybe we have to challenge at least the way we look at youth ministry and the way that we see youth ministry, specifically here at this church. Because sometimes we have to change our perspective in order to understand the purpose of something. Now you, as parents, specifically to the parents, you are spiritual leaders of your children. You as parents are leading your son or daughter through their faith journey. You are their spiritual leaders. And we, as the church, specifically as the youth ministry, we just sincerely want to help you. We want to help your student. We care about your student and helping them on their journey of faith. We're not meant to, and we're not trying to replace what you do. We simply want to supplement what you're doing on the faith journey of your child. But we want you to involve them. We want you to bring them here and to help them see that it's not just even about them as a student. It's not even just about their faith journey, but it's how that impacts everything else. I think effective youth ministry does not just stay in the student's heart. It doesn't just stay in the student. It extends outward. There's some sort of outworking in their faith journey where they can go and then go to their schools and love other people in the way that only Jesus can teach them to love. That they can go to their schools and they can love the people Jesus described our enemies. They can love the people that for whatever reason might be against them. That they can go and actually show love to people who are not showing love to them. That is a rare thing because that is the way of Jesus. But they need to see that at work. And they need to see that in action. And so if they're gonna set the example, which I hope that they all would, that they would be the example of what it looks like to follow Jesus as a teenager or a soon-to-be teenager in this generation, if they're gonna set that example, they first need to see that example. They need to see the example. And they can see it at home, I hope, but they can also see it in a different and unique way here by being involved with other students and being on a journey with other teenagers as well. They can see that example there. And this idea of setting an example and being an example for other people is one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a man named Timothy. And we find this in 1 and 2 Timothy. He wrote two letters to a young pastor named Timothy. And Timothy was leading a church in Ephesus. And this church, for a variety of reasons, was in disarray. There was a lot of things going on. People were twisting the word of God and making it to just benefit them. And there were things going wrong. But Paul was away. Paul is nearing the end of his life. But Paul and Timothy worked together. And Timothy was kind of like his protege. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy, partly explaining and describing the things that are going wrong and need to be corrected in that church, very specifically. But then he's also encouraging Timothy and he's equipping Timothy to be like, you're the example. You're leading the way. So this is how you should live your life. And so Paul writes this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Another translation says, don't let anyone despise your youth. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So Paul is aware that Timothy is a young man, and he's leading a church, and there's some people that can look down on him because of his age. But Paul is encouraging Timothy to say, look at the way that you're living your life. See that you're living in the way that God has called us to live. And he specifically mentions these five things: in speech, in conduct, which are visible things, and then in love, in faith, and in purity, which are invisible things, but always become visible somehow. And he's saying that, Timothy, you need to check your character, and you need to make sure your character is in line with the character of God. Live more like Jesus. Live more like God. And if your character can shine brightly, then your age won't matter. No one's going to look down on him if he acts in this way, if he acts in this strong character. And this comes with age. It can come with age. As you get older, you gain more experience. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes that experience gives you wisdom. And that wisdom can lead to these qualities, which is also why it can be so rare to see these qualities in teenagers and pre-teenagers, which is also why it's such an amazing thing to see these qualities in our teenagers. That if they can walk in this, if they can walk in the way that Paul is describing, if they can align their character with the character of God, they're going to stand out more than anything. They're going to stand out the way that God has called them to stand out, so they can be that example for other people. And specifically in this context, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he's saying you need to be the example because this church is kind of messed up and there's a lot of crazy things going on. And he says a little bit later in the letter, he says, you, man of God, flee from all this. Flee from all of the crazy things that other people are doing here in this church. But instead, you pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Our faith is a fight, and there is a fight to be had. For the next generation, there's a fight to be had. In every generation, there's unique challenges associated with following Jesus. And in this generation, it's no different. There is unique challenges when it comes to following Jesus, and they need to be equipped to fight. And they need to be equipped to take hold of the eternal life that was promised to them, to take hold of their faith. Their faith, which in many cases has been passed down from you as parents, which is a beautiful thing. You as parents passing down faith to your children, grandparents. There are grandparents who are no longer with us that have passed down faith to their children. There are grandparents here in this room that have passed down faith. We have multiple generations in the same family represented in this church, and that's a beautiful thing. In fact, in the second letter that Paul writes to Timothy, he starts by giving some thanks, and he mentions Timothy's mother and grandmother, and he says, I'm reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's the story of a lot of our students here, is that they have faith that has been passed down to them. And that's amazing, but it cannot simply stay that way. Their faith will not last as a hand-me-down. It won't. If their faith has simply been passed down, but they don't do anything with it, it'll break and it'll dissolve under whatever things that they think. But if they don't take hold of the truth that is in God's word for themselves and they own their faith, then they're going to stray. That's why they need to take hold. That's why they need to own their faith. That's why they need to own their journey with God. And what will help them do that is being supported at home, but also being supported and being in a community like this, where they are involved with other people, leading other people as we grow together in our faith journey. It's home, but it's also church as well. These two things can and should work together, but they need to be equipped. They need to be equipped. Just like Paul writes to Timothy about the word of God and how it should strengthen us, the same is true for us. He writes, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the word of God is something that is meant to arm us. It's meant to train us in righteousness. And our students, the next generation, they need to be trained in righteousness. They need to take the word of God and realize and understand through the power of the Holy Spirit how it can affect and impact and dramatically change their life, so that they can go out and do the work that God has called them to do in their lives. So they can be that example. But again, they need to see that example first. Let me go back to that first verse I read a moment ago, where Paul says to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, parents in the room, I'm gonna need your help with this next part, because I'm not a parent. But what I do know generally about teenagers is that as they grow older, as they step into their teenage years, they tend to develop some more, a craving for independence, a craving for more freedom than they are able to handle, more freedom than you're willing to give them, because you have rules and you have guardrails on their life. But they, in their minds, they are trying to break free from that. They feel like they're ready to break free from some of those guardrails. But you, as good parents, you keep them locked in. But what might happen sometimes, maybe this has happened to you as parents, that your student might get a little frustrated with the rules that you have set for them. I mean, I hear this from them sometimes, so I know it's true. And they might get so frustrated with some of the things that you're kind of putting on their life, the rules and the restrictions with different things going on in their life, and they might express that frustration, and they might throw a little bit of a tantrum and try and get their way, and your student may have said to you or might say to you, stop treating me like a child. Stop treating me like a child. Now, parents, if you're child ever said to you, stop treating me like a child, what might you say back to them? So much more variety in those responses than I expected. But I think I heard what I was looking for. If they are acting like a child and they say, stop treating me like a child, you might say to them, well, stop acting like one. Right? Stop acting like you don't want to be treated like a child. Stop acting like one. And this row is kind of rolling their eyes. But I want you to understand what Paul is saying to Timothy and how it should impact your life as well. Nobody will despise your youth if they admire your example. Nobody will despise your youth if they admire your example. If you live in the way that Paul is describing to Timothy, he's outlining this for Timothy specifically, but this is for all of us, that we would walk in this way. And if you live in this way, no one's gonna look down on you because of your age. So set the example. But if they are gonna set the example, you need to help them see that example first. And when we think about the kind of example that we're setting for other people, I want us to think about how we might be showing up in our lives. How we might be showing up to the different areas and the different contexts that we find ourselves in our lives. So I have a few encouragements for different groups in the room that on how you might want to show up in your life. So parents, if I may say this, show up to lead. Show up to lead. You're already doing this, but show up to lead your children in their faith journey. Again, you are the spiritual leaders of their life, but show up to lead them. Be there for them to help them and have those conversations as hard as they may be, as much as they might not want to talk to you. I see what you're doing. Keep trying to do that. Keep showing up to lead them on their faith journey, because we are simply supplementing that. And then adults, by adults, I mean an adult maybe without kids or an adult maybe with grandkids, you know? Adults, show up to serve. Show up to serve. Show the next generation what it looks like to serve the local church. I don't mean serve specifically in youth. I just mean serve the church. Be involved in what God is doing here at the church. I see Esther over here. Esther is a prime example of someone who is serving and who is rooted in serving. Esther's a great example because, honestly, like 20 years ago, you could have just said, I'm good, I've done enough. But you keep serving, you keep showing up. And I just want to thank you, because you are such a good example for other people. Esther's one of the best people I know, and it's true for every single one of us that we have an opportunity to serve people around us, that we have an opportunity to serve the local church and to show the next generation what it looks like to serve the house of God. And then finally, students, show up to fight. Show up to fight, because you are on a faith journey that is not an easy thing. It's not an easy road. Following Jesus always invites tension into our lives. It's going to bring some conflict. So show up to fight and be ready and be equipped with the word of God. You're not fighting in your own strength. You're fighting with the power of God. Now, I consider it, as a youth pastor, I consider it a tragedy for a high school student or a junior high student to go through their teenage years without knowing the will of God for their lives. And by that, I don't mean the specific details, but simply to be saved and to walk and follow Jesus. It's a great tragedy for students to not know that. But thankfully, it's an avoidable tragedy. You have no idea, as parents, what might hang in the balance of your decision to have your students involved in church, to have your students involved in the youth ministry here at church, and how that could change their life forever. And I don't mean to sound harsh, but some of your students are missing it because they're not here and they're not plugged in. But if you can do that, and again, I'm not unsympathetic to the efforts that's required, but parents, I'm not asking you to bring your students to church simply so they can just attend something. Your students attend enough things. I'm asking you to bring your student to youth so they can participate in something, so they can participate in the growth and the development of their faith in the living God. That is something that will change their life forever, and that is something you definitely won't regret. Paul, at the end of his letter, he writes another statement that I want to read in just a moment, but City Youth, again, going back to what's the point? What are we doing here? City Youth is not just a program. It is a program, but it's not just that. It's rooted in the movement that began with Jesus. When Jesus did what he did for us, he started a movement. He kickstarted a movement. And that movement is still continuing with us today. We are an expression of that movement. City Youth is an expression of the Jesus movement and helping us and students walk in the way of Jesus. And if you think about it, that movement could have died and been buried with Jesus. But we see 2,000 plus years later, it's still alive and it's still going. Why? Because Jesus is still alive. Jesus did not stay buried. And so that's what makes the word of God so powerful. That's why we have a Bible. And that's why the words that Paul writes to Timothy are so impactful. And we need to pay such close attention to these words, because Paul understood, and he wants Timothy to understand, how much was on the line, how important it was that people understood who the living God was. And again, Paul, who writes this letter, in this specific letter, 2 Timothy, he's writing it from a prison cell. He's near the end of his life. And the church that he's writing to, the pastor in Ephesus, this church is in disarray. There's a lot going wrong. And on a human level, there could be cause for a loss of hope. But Paul, at the end of his life, from a prison cell, he writes this: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do these sound like the words of a hopeless man? They're not. Paul's full of hope, even in the situation that he's in, because he understands who his God is. He had an experience with Jesus, and he was changed from the inside out. Now, if you're a parent in the room with a child or children 18 and under, whether they're here in the room right now, or maybe they're in City Kids, or maybe you're out in the lobby, or maybe you're watching this online, I want you to, as a parent, just keep your children's faces in your mind for a moment as I say this next part. However many children you have, keep them in your mind. Me, in my position, I'm just being honest with you, I dream of faithful future leaders. I dream of teenagers growing older and staying firm in their faith, following in the footsteps of Paul and, in a greater sense, Jesus, so that they can face any opposition that will come their way, so that they can follow Jesus, go to school, be challenged, and keep following Jesus, so that they can go through life, experience hardship and suffering, but still follow Jesus because they know what God they're serving. I dream of faithful future leaders. Now, why shouldn't that be your child? Why shouldn't that be your son or your daughter? There's no reason why it shouldn't be. There's no reason why they shouldn't set the example. But again, if they're going to set the example, they need to first see it. And this isn't just empty preacher talk. This isn't just rhetoric so that we can fill the room more on Wednesday so we can get more people. No, I believe this is true. In fact, I know this is true because I've lived it myself. I have been changed by this. And I've seen it with other people as well. In fact, I'm seeing it right now. There's a student in our youth ministry who's kind of more recent and coming out on Wednesdays. And her name is Cassie. I got permission to use her name and her photo. Cassie has been coming out to youth on Wednesdays recently. She came out on Sunday. I met her a couple months ago. And I'm bringing her up because she is the perfect example of a student who at all costs wants to avoid any interaction with any other student or any participation in church. So I would see her on a Sunday and she would avoid as much as possible, but I encouraged her to come out on a Wednesday, and eventually she did. And she spent half the night in the bathroom. She would just hide in the bathroom and we would be talking to her and trying to get her out, just be involved with some other students. And eventually she warmed up a little bit. She's made some friends along the way. And she tells me, or she has told me, how she is here, but she's not really listening to me, and she doesn't want to be here, and she doesn't want to talk to other people. And hearing a little bit about her story, she told me some reasons why maybe she doesn't want to be here, and honestly, pretty good reasons. I'm sympathetic to her story and her journey up until this point, but she is still showing up, and for that, I'm proud of her. Yeah. I'm proud of her for showing up, and I personally am contending for a move of God in her life. That she, while resistant to the work of God and resistant to relationships, I believe God's gonna move in her life. in a powerful way, in a way that only God can move. And it's not from us, it's not our strength, it's not our kindness, it's God working through us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit impacting her life. So she may continue to come out and she may keep hiding in the bathroom and she might not be listening to what I'm saying, but we, as a youth ministry, we're gonna keep showing up. And I hope she does too. Let me just pray for you today. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for another opportunity to be here just to worship you. God, everything we do is to glorify you. Everything we do is to help other people and us move closer to you. So I thank you that you're always in the process of making that happen, of working that in our spirits. I pray specifically for the next generation, for our teenagers and our soon-to-be teenagers and our children. I pray that you would just keep your hand of favor and blessing on them. I pray that they would be raised up by strong moms and strong dads and strong families just to walk in your ways. And I pray that they would be able to be a part of the local church, that we have this opportunity here to help develop them. And I pray that they would take hold of that. And I pray that they, as individuals, would understand the importance of what you are doing in their lives and in their hearts. And I pray that you would just move in their spirits in a powerful way, in a way that maybe they haven't experienced before, but they would learn and see so clearly how much you love them and how much you want them to be close to your heart. We pray also for all parents in the room, all grandparents in the room. I pray that you would just continue to bless them and thank them for what they've done so far. Thank them for just the example that they've already set. But I pray that you would continue to bless them and strengthen them on this road as they are contending for the faith of their children. I pray that you would just encourage them and you would help them to know that what they are doing is no small thing and what they are doing for their children matters so much. And I pray that they would be comforted by your spirit in this moment and as they leave this place today. We thank you for what you're doing in the life of this church, in every area of ministry, God. You are moving in great ways, in the ways that we see, in the ways that we don't see, God. We thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people here. We thank you that we get to be a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, thank you for coming to church today. I know this service has leaned towards youth ministry, but what Jesus did for us, Jesus did for all of us. And I just wanna create an opportunity for anyone who maybe has never said yes to the free gift of salvation that Jesus provides for us. Jesus came to earth to die for our sins and he rose again from the dead. And if you've never accepted that gift, I'm gonna say a prayer in just a moment and give you an opportunity to pray that for yourself, to enter into a journey of faith with Jesus. And also if you've maybe previously followed Jesus, but you've kind of stepped away a little bit for different reasons and life circumstances, and you wanna come back to the path that God has for you, you can do that today as well, and you can pray that with us together. So let's just pray again. God, we thank you for what you have done for us. Jesus, we thank you for coming to earth, for dying on the cross for us, and for raising again from the dead, for defeating death, God. We thank you for what you've done and for forgiving our sins so that we can walk in freedom. Lord, I pray for anyone here in this room, anyone watching online who has never said yes to you, has never accepted that free gift of salvation. I pray that you would move their spirit to take that step, that you would help them see you so clearly. Get rid of all the noise surrounding them. And I pray that they would see you so clearly. They could see you with your arms open wide, just welcoming them back home. And I pray that they would say yes to start that journey today. We pray for anyone who may have stepped away from faith at some point in their life, that the invitation is the same and will always remain open for them, that they can come back to you. They can get back in step with you, Jesus. So I pray that they would take that step as well and that they would come back to you. We thank you for the salvations represented in this room. We thank you that people are coming back home to you. We worship you for that, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If that was you, if you made that decision to follow Jesus for the first time or re-enter a relationship, you can head to the info desk right after service in just a moment, and someone will be there to answer any questions you might have and give you some resources to help you on your journey. Can I ask everyone to stand up with me as we close? At this time, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up to the front. If you are here and you need prayer for anything going on in your life, you can come up to the front, and someone will be happy to pray with you or for you about any of those things. Are you glad you came to church today? Great. One last reminder, parents, if you have a student in grades 6 through 12, MOVE Conference registration is open, and today only is $40. So be sure to check that out. We will see you next Sunday for Father's Day. Have a great rest of your day.